Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Almost half the world's populations will go to the polls before this year is out. According to a new report from Allianz Commercial, security is a concern in many territories. The report examines the increasing risk of terrorism, civil unrest, and environmental activism in this year's volatile political environment with an unprecedented supercycles of elections across the globe. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Sergeant Todorovic, head of political violence and hostile environment solutions at Allianz Commercial. Sergeant, so glad you could join us today.
Thank you, John.
So, Sergeant, why is 2024 shaping up to be an unprecedented year for political violence concerns?
Well, I think it's key to mention there that it's concerns at the moment, and I think there's a number of things. You know, we're some way through the year and it's been relatively okay, but I'll be careful what I say with things going on at the moment. But why is it? Well, I think it's been a number of factors over the years that has kind of led to this. Naturally, as you mentioned in your introduction, a large majority of the world's population is going into election. And usually elections bring the worst, I would say, sometimes in politics and in people. So I would say that is one of them. So the political element. So we've got a lot of elections this year. There has been a shift in the type of politics that we're seeing on the spectrum. So we are talking a relative shift, large shift towards the right wing of politics. We're also talking about a rise of populism, which has often, I would say, also my personal view is led to I wouldn't say politics of hate so much, but there is definitely a politics of blame potentially in the public domain.
A tribalism?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, there is obviously, for example, America First policy was mentioned to name one, but there are similar types of policies in other countries that are kind of picking up support, let's say, across the spectrum. And that is ultimately one of the things driving. And then looking back a little bit, linking politics also to economic situations, there is a big rise in mistrust in politicians and politics. So you have that populism with the mistrust going hand in hand. But it's linked a lot to potentially, my view, linked to the economic handling, sometimes mishandling, of the COVID period and the subsequent recovery from. And I think some would argue you can't account for everything. You can't have policies for everything. It's difficult to control the global economy. But, you know, with inflation, with rising unemployment, although that has recovered a lot over the last 2 years, probably in most countries, the reduced quantity or reduced flow of goods and trade, that's had an impact, obviously, in the pricing, but also the ability to boost economic recovery. I think you've got these two factors working hand in hand, and that's causing naturally issues and resentment with people, and they are not also willing to hit the streets to protest against what they perceive as mismanagement of economies, of sometimes corruption, etc. And then there are a couple of other things that are maybe an elephant in the room is geopolitics, and what we've seen in the in this sphere is actually two quite unprecedented events. War in Ukraine from 2022 is one big event that's had an impact economically, but also politically on individual states, but generally. And obviously the Israel and Gaza conflict, which splits many opinion across the world, not just in the US, but elsewhere. So these are the things that are pushing it. The issues and the concerns in 2024, they can be, you know, elections can be the trigger factor of these problems, as in of violence potentially, but they're not the cause of them, if you understand what I mean. And I guess the other thing to mention really is the societal and cultural inequality potentially, or the view or perceived view of injustice in certain societies, whether it's racial injustice or kind of economic injustice. And these are the things that are culminating now in a 2024, which is, we feel it's going to be quite turbulent. Now, as I said, we've gone through almost a quarter of the year, or we have gone through the quarter of the year, and we have had relatively little activity from this perspective, but there's still a long way to go.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. Surgeon, what role do you anticipate technology and AI will play in this election cycle?
We may have spoken about this before, actually, John, but I would say it should be a force for good, actually, technology, and it should help elections and help cycles and help weed out the false news from the truth, or truth from the false news, shall I say. But it's not clear cut as that. And I think that it is a force for good. It can be if it's used in the right way. What we've seen is that it's been used to spread misinformation, the alternative narrative or the alternative truth, as sometimes people call it. And actually, you know, the AI element, which is for me very recent and I'm still learning about it, is the impact of AI, from what I can see, let's say generating false videos, can be a kind of a match that ignites potential violence. And that's regardless whether it's true or not. You know, once the cat is out of the bag of a video, whether it's false or not, people can make their own mind up, and sometimes they're not interested in the truth. And there is an element of risk associated with this. And I think we're at sort of a crucial point now of technology and politics and elections, is that how do we put rules around this? And it's actually incredibly difficult. And the speed of news, technology, including social media traveling, is also something that's a concern of ours. And we saw that in 2020 with Black Lives Matter and other riots and civil commotions around the globe since then. So these are the things that AI and technology kind of raises these points.
Customize your data experience. Best Link now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
The report notes that environmental activism incidents increased by around 120% between 2022 and 2023. What's behind that surge? And do you think that this is a trend that's going to continue?
I do think it's a trend. I think it's definitely, as a political violence and terrorism underwriter, we often talk about the next big issue, the next potential problem for our clients. And yes, we've seen an increase in rise, and it's actually more, there's more coverage about it as well, not to mention the recent attacks by, I think, a group called Vulcan in Germany against the power grid, which has affected, obviously, Tesla's production in Germany. But what we saw, what's driving this really is facts, is that we've seen record temperatures. We have, in 2023, it's been the hottest year on record. 2024 is showing signs that it's also going to be the maybe the new hottest year on record. So when people see this and they see the impact that it has on life and ability to kind of live and travel and conduct business and whatever, that you naturally see sometimes extreme acts, sometimes what we call, what I would say, acts of nuisance. So whether people are blocking roads or not. What we anticipate, and unfortunately this is something that the governments will also have to step up for, is there's been a rowing back of targets, environmental targets, across the world. And I'm talking from UK specifically. I mean, our government has moved some net zero targets further on. So they're stretching this out, and that has an impact on people and their views of the government, but also kind of how important this topic is. So once you see this happening and you see that acts of nuisance or protests or petitions don't work, you may see a more extreme approach to environmental activism, like we've seen, what we saw in Germany in March of this year. So these are the things that are moving, but ultimately it can vary depending on country to country.
Surgeon, the report talks about something called nearshoring or friendshoring, and I have to admit, I had never run across that term before. Can you explain that concept and what the risks are involved?
Yes. So it's in my opinion, it has a lot to do with the way globalization has developed and production and kind of supply chains. So I guess from a very simple kind of explanation perspective, nearshoring is essentially pulling production closer to the point of sale. So let's say you're producing goods, particular goods, you bring the production closer, including the supply chain associated with that production. So what that means closer is physically closer. So shorter supply chains, that's what nearshoring is, hence the name as well. Friendshoring is closely linked to geopolitics and geopolitical allies. So what that means is it doesn't necessarily have to be geographically close. It could be just meeting of minds, countries with similar approaches, liberal democracies, or dare I say even dictatorships. So these are the things that kind of are covered in friendshoring. So we're talking about, again, production and supply chains, bringing them closer and giving more resilience to your business more generally.
And what are the risks there?
Absolutely multiple in this. I mean, for me, thinking about this quite quickly, I think main risk is firstly is the cost and potential shortage of labor, skilled labor, shall I say, for moving some sort of production over either nearshoring or friendshoring. You kind of have to have, especially let's say in the microchip sector, you have to have specialisms, you have to have the know-how to do those kind of production. There could be legal complications in moving to a country that you weren't in before. That's obviously another one. We've got the time element. So how long will it take to build a new factory in a particular country or source an alternative route for your raw materials? So these are the risks. I think there's also maybe a broader risk on a geopolitical level is actually if you do signal that you are moving production out of a particular country for friendshoring reasons, let's say, I think that's a potential geopolitical issue which can escalate into something much further, sanctions, some sort of tax implications. So these are the things that I see as problematic. But finally, actually, geopolitics changes, and there is a risk that what you consider as a friend now may not be a friend in a few years' time. So these are the things that really causes problems if you're trying to go down this route.
How does political violence activity impact businesses, and what can a company do to protect its business property and employees?
Well, ultimately, as we saw the last 5 or 6 years in the types of incidents that we've seen, this really needs to be treated just as any other natural peril. It isn't a natural peril, but I guess maybe human nature is in some respects. So it needs to be high on the agenda. So that's first and foremost that the companies, businesses need to realize that this is important, just as important as earthquakes, flood and fire, for example, to their properties. It can have the same or similar impact. We talked about a little bit about supply chains. I think what can companies do to answer your second part of your question to ensure safety of this or people and production and then their businesses and properties? I think there are a number of things. Obviously, building security, as in asset security, is important, and these can be done through various means. And I can defer that answers to specialists on that point. We can have people training, understanding of the risk and how to behave in a particular environment, whether it's strikes and rioting outside a building or potential strikes and rioting. Then you know you can teach people to behave in a certain way. You can have departments, or you can have potentially a risk department that's anticipating events. So looking at monitoring news media, monitoring politics, monitoring potential flashpoints for its business as well. And finally, that, I suppose, risk department should also have a crisis department. So you may be able to prevent some risks, but the risks you can't prevent and issues you can't prevent, you should have good contingency planning in place, whether that means supply chain or whether that means physical security or people working from home, whatever it may be. So there are a number of factors that companies can do to protect themselves and limit the impact of political violence.
Sergeant, with the sustained political violence and civil unrest activity and evidence around the world, do you see interest in political violence coverage increasing in 2024?
I do, and I've seen that over the last 18 months, certainly since Ukraine conflict. We've seen buyer behavior changing, so clients have really focused on the coverage that they're buying, the wording, the extensions that they're buying. So there's been a more focus on specific risks, either in countries or the type of businesses that they operate. So what I mean by that is if you're a retail versus a manufacturing site, there are two different risks associated with that. So yeah, overall, the political violence landscape has resulted in changing behavior of clients and the type of insurance that product that they buy, the limits that they buy. It's absolutely driving a lot of the conversations that we're having with brokers and clients in 2024.
Well, let's hope for the best. Sergeant, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John.
That was Sergeant Todorovic, Head of Political Violence and Hostile Environment Solutions at Allianz Commercial. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio. Looking to get the attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms to do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by contacting our Advertising Services Business Development Team at 908-882-1706.